SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three at the races at Belmont, and now actually the sun's starting to come out, and good, because it'll have to dry out these two tracks, the main track in front of me and the training track off to my right. Jonathan Thomas is going to join us. He's, in fact, joining us now, and yeah, the obvious thing to do would be to launch right into Catholic Boy and the unbelievably exciting win, but no. We have to talk about Arequiette, which became a house favorite, a house horse, last summer when Jonathan told us about Arequiette coming up to Saratoga. Won the other day as well, so congratulations on that one, first and foremost.
Well, thank you. No, it was an exciting being on the end. You there?
Yep, we're here.
Okay, perfect. No, I said thank you very much. It was an exciting weekend.
Catholic Boy and Jonathan, I can only imagine, I mean, as a bettor and as a person watching racing, I can only imagine what you're thinking when it looks like the race is over. Mid-stretch, and he's checking up, and his momentum is over. He's stopped. All right, he'll be second. And you went in thinking, yeah, we're undefeated. It's tough. This horse is tough. Analyze it. But then for him to do what he did, I mean, you had to be stunned.
It was really gratifying. I mean, you know, it's hard to expect or, you know, fathom that a horse could overcome, you know, getting checked like that and come, you know, to somewhat of a stop and then and re-engage. But on the flip side, you know, having spent a lot of time around him, those are the things that, you know, we have the luxury of seeing from time to time. So in one way, it wasn't surprising after it happened, but at the same time, listen, you know, he beat a really nice horse and he did it in a very gritty fashion. And, you know, we rarely get to see those sort of things happen. And when we do, we kind of remember why we do the things we do, you know, because, you know, when a horse really lays himself down for you, that's really what it's all about.
What did Javier, I mean, I've seen the quotes, but what do you think? I mean, to pick a horse off under those circumstances, and Chad Brown is also, he's even kind of mystified to some degree how Analyze it could have been in that position and then gotten caught. So, you know, everybody's kind of rubbing their eyes.
No, I mean, my guess, tactically, I think what happened, and this is kind of, it was a late developing strategy, but, you know, once I saw the horses in the paddock and the holding barn and kind of saw their body language, I just felt very confident that we had, you know, a horse that had faced a lot of good horses and was battle tested and very fit and, you know, has a big stride. And I just wanted to let him utilize his best weapon, which I'm going to call reasonable speed. He's not a speed horse, but he certainly has the ability to, you know, on the turf show a little bit of speed. And then, you know, he's proven that he can carry a route of ground. So I almost wanted to employ dirt tactics on the grass and put Analyze in a position where he was going to have to kind of niggle and chase to keep in touch with the pace. And I think it made him move early. And what we saw was him just kind of getting a little leg weary that last 16th or 8th of a mile. And, you know, listen, he's a very good horse. We had a lot of respect for him, but, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, we have to have confidence in what we're taking over there. And, you know, Javier did a masterful job of executing what ended up being a last minute kind of audible play.
You bring up the experience factor and what transpired through the spring, the winter, and into the spring with Catholic Boy, and or in the last hour, we were referencing the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, where you finished fourth, and like every other participant in that race, have gone on to successful exploits. But
it was amazing. I mean, that ended up being an amazing depth of talent, you know, in that group, you know, and you know, I thought even with a slightly better trip, we got kind of hemmed up in the first turn and had to check out of a good spot. And, you know, I honestly thought we could have run a little bit closer. Now, no, I don't think anyone was beating Mendelsohn on the day, but I think we could have finished a length closer.
What, and fold in the bleeding episode as well, and discuss your thoughts about it. It kind of came up in the last couple of weeks, kind of separately and on its own. I mean, in terms of a turf horse, give me the point of reference, Jonathan. In terms of a turf horse and how they approach a race and you know, when energy is expended and when they're asked versus dirt racing and how much that can contribute to what may have transpired with him.
That's a reasonable thought. You know, obviously, listen, the dirt's very physically demanding, and you know, takes kind of a real grinder and a real strong kind of horse that just has the ability to stay. I'm not certain that contributed to it. I mean, you know, it was a first-time offense, and normally when that happens, it can be a variable of things. And, you know, horses, I don't know if there's a horse that's running that at one point in or another hasn't experienced some mild bleeding to some extent, if it's in the morning and a workout, you know, or in the afternoons, and it's just a matter of management. You know, I'm not so certain it wasn't South Florida and the humidity and, you know, horse trained really well in it, and but you know, it could have been a combination of things, but you know, the most important thing is it was a one-time deal and it never really resurfaced, and you know, it's been fairly easy to manage from that aspect. But I think you're right. I mean, the dirt and the kickback and just the anxiety might have had a little bit to do with it. I don't know. I mean, it's still a little bit of a head scratcher.
I suppose one of the things that you're maybe suggesting here, and of course the Belmont Derby, and there's not going to be any separating John Panagot and Bob LaPenta can't separate Hawkish and Catholic Boy now. But beyond the Belmont Derby, how much discussion has there been since Saturday about the potential to put him back on the dirt for, you know, some of those remaining three-year-old specialty opportunities?
You know, those are all open for discussion. You know, I think we'll take it race by race and week by week and work by work. It's a very methodic process, kind of getting to a race and trying to deliver the horse at his best on the day. And you never know, you know, you could be a week out or 2 weeks out from one of these key dirt races, and we might feel like we're really sitting on a good effort. So those things are hard to predict, and I'm a little reluctant to plan more than a day ahead of time with horses. And, you know, I mean, we plan out, but I mean, listen, coming off the turf effort like that, I think right now we just let him stick to what he showcased the other day. And, you know, the Belmont Derby makes the most sense. And, you know, if we train up right to that, that's where we're headed. If not, then, you know, we'll see what the next step is.
Well, this was a thrilling performance, and the fans that got behind Catholic Boy along the way as a 2-year-old and were hoping to get him to Kentucky, they absolutely got to feel, you know, encouraged and rewarded with that performance. And there's a very nice alternate Derby opportunity that awaits in July.
There's no doubt. I mean, he's had a great following, and he's been very well supported and deservingly so. And you know, his owners have been very patient with him and have allowed us to do what's right by him at every step and every juncture. And, you know, that makes my job a lot easier also. But, you know, I'm not going to say it was payback or anything to that extent. I'm never that dramatic, but it was very gratifying, rewarding, kind of showcase him at what we felt was, you know, his best and, you know, close to his best. And hopefully maybe there's a little more there, but that's the horse. The horse you all saw Saturday, that's the horse that we wake up to every morning and, you know, have the honor to train.
Very nice. Well, Catholic boy presses forward, and we'll look toward a big matchup with Jimmy Toner's Hawkish and the two very good chances, obviously, for Bob LaPenta and his team, and we'll look forward to it. Meanwhile, for those that may not have noticed, you know, being here in New York, Jonathan, it gave me the opportunity to see Tilly's Lily the other day. You're going somewhere with this filly, yes?
The plan is to run her back. I'm thinking it's 5.5 weeks now. There's a race, I believe it's called the Caress or the Caressing at Saratoga, going 5.5 on the
turf.
Yeah,
the Caress.
And that was, you know, rarely do things happen as you plan them out, but after she won at Santa Anita by design, we felt like it was a great time to let her mature and grow up a little bit, so we gave her the winter off and brought her back methodically, and we were hoping to get, you know, a race like she had the other day at Belmont so that we could really tee her up and showcase her at Saratoga. I mean, we feel like she's a real quality filly, and, you know, I just would really love to have her at her best, you know, for the next 90 days when these turf sprints are significant.
She's 4 for 4. She was 200,000 as a yearling. Who was Southwind?
So the real, like, proud parent part about these two horses is Catholic Boy I was able to purchase as a weanling, and I actually bought Tilly also as a yearling for a family that are based in Orlando. They're not large owners, but, you know, they put up significant money and let us kind of go do our thing, and we picked her out of the Keeneland sale. And they were really patient with her. She was a little backwards as a two-year-old. Maybe that Empire Maker part on the bottom just kind of kept her from developing early. But they were super, super owners that let us really take our time with her, and they are getting duly rewarded. So, but they're a great, great family down in Orlando.
Well, and since we brought up Florida, obviously Tilly's Lily will stay up here in New York. We got to talk about two maiden breakers, and you had Escapade win for the Little General,
you're allowed to call him that. I'm not.
He's too.
We are going to. Just call him sir and salute.
Sir, no. Aaron Wellman, Gary Young has christened him the Little General, and so it is our job as media to perpetuate it and to get it into the mainstream. And it is so
what
fitting.
He's taller than me, though. I don't get to call him little.
Well, I put a terrific. I caught him. You know how, and he's going to be embarrassed. I put a picture on Twitter yesterday. I'm coming from the boxes, and I was making my way down to the paddock, and I passed the corridor in the second floor where, on opposite sides by the Belmont room, there is the Belmont Stakes winning photos, the winner's wall, and opposite the Woodward wall. And I come by there, and I look to my right, and Aaron is looking down at the Tappert picture, but I think he's looking equally at the creator Destin picture, which are next to each other.
That was a tough one.
He's a little misty, you know. He's looking. He's got that faraway look in his eye, and we had a great talk. And Aaron,
well, when you're separated by a whisker hair from two American classics, that gut punch never goes away.
Well, he really appreciates the historic aspect of the game, and even though he's a West Coast, grew up on the West Coast, a race like, you know, the Belmont, he knows what it means, and he was really tickled to see it there, you know, for first time coming into coming into New York for the week. Meanwhile, down in Florida, Escapade breaks the maiden. What do you got here?
She's an interesting filly. Once again, you know, we have the privilege of training for various astute people, and Aaron let this filly have a little bit of time and just kind of regroup from a two-year-old year, and, you know, with the same intent of kind of getting her right as some of these important races come along. You know, I think she probably stretches out a little bit, but she was pretty adept on an unusual course at Gulfstream, which was pretty soft. And I like how she did everything. You know, the verdict's out if we're going to try to clear conditioned down south, or, you know, if we bring her up north. So, you know, she looks like she came out of it well, and we're just going to regroup and kind of see where she fits best.
Well, that came the other day, and on the 31st, and go from there. In the meantime, you also, another nice addition to the client roster, George Strawbridge and Augustine, and the two-year-old firster, entirely a winner at upon introduction.
He, Mr. Strawbridge, has been an amazing person and a real privilege to work with. I mean, what a wealth of knowledge, and, you know, just he's really obviously carved himself a iconic spot in the sport, so it's a real honor to train for him. And he's an amazing guy to talk to, because I think he knows or has experienced as much as, you know, I'd ever hope to. So he's not only, you know, a client, he's what I would also consider an advisor, and somebody that we, you know, I definitely try to go to the well with him when we go over stuff. But you know, a little bit of an unusual deal with Augustine, where we had a very early two-year-old, and this filly had kind of always shown that she was precocious and very forward from the start. And, you know, we started her at Bridlewood and had the privilege of getting her on the turf a few times, and, you know, I think we had the fundamentals covered. We didn't have her fully cranked, but I was really, really thrilled with how she ran. And the filly race didn't go a week prior, so we ended up putting her against the boys, and, you know, that was kind of cool, her, you know, kind of taking on the boys like that. But I thought she's everything great. You know, she broke fine, was able to kind of settle for a quarter mile, and then just start picking and reeling off horses. And then, you know, for a firster, once she hit the lead, she had the wherewithal to clear and open up by five. So, you know, the plan with her is to bring her to New York. There's a race called the Bolton Landing. It's a ways off. It's a long ways off. You know, I'd love if we had a spot to run her in 4 or 5 weeks, but when you break your maiden this early, you're kind of pumping the brakes until a spot comes up. But she was really excited, and we're really proud of her.
Well, I wanted to note quite a nice addition to the ownership roster, Aaron. Between Aaron and the Malones and Eclipse, and all, you know, this is a pretty heady addition to the.
It's a heady
clients.
Group, but yeah. You know, not only are they heady, you know, from a strength perspective, but they're also, all of them are very smart and astute, and have a certain element of horsemanship that, you know, is rare, and it really boils down to a team dynamic. And, you know, we really kind of put our heads together before we make any decisions. And, you know, I'm definitely lean on their advice quite often. So, you know, it's become a real team dynamic, and it's a real privilege to be with people like that. 'Cause Lord knows I've through osmosis really tried to soak up and learn from all of them.
Well, doing just a tremendous job. And this past 7 days between New York and Florida, here are the stats: 9 starts, 5 wins, a second, and a third. So, well done.
I know. We got beat a whisker hair with a filly called Pure Michigan, and good great friend of mine, John Panda, got picked up Javier Castellano, and we almost went 4-for-4 with the last 3 days. So we were a whisker hair away from having a pretty clean sweep with Javier. But I think it's important to know that he just put up some incredible rides for us. Just really heady, smart journeyman, just what you'd expect from a guy like him.
Well, Jonathan, always, been so impressed with you from meeting early on, working for Todd Pletcher as an assistant, and then the patient approach that you've shown in developing your career, and obviously just the things starting to really all hit stride together, and we're delighted for you. Continued success.
Well, thank you, Steve.
We'll see you this week, and first call of the year, but we will be talking more and soon.
I sure hope so. It's normally always there's a good reason we're talking to each other, so I welcome it anytime.
I appreciate it. Jonathan Thomas, everybody, and what a strong series of performances. And even though he's not officially involved in the current training, Taprit, he was responsible for Taprit's development. And in fact, just pulling up from yesterday, that performance, a 95 buyer in that return to the races, very solid way to come back. So they'll have something to build on for the rest of the year with Taprit. And of course, there's more LaPenta Eclipse. And how about, don't forget, and I didn't even realize it until I saw the silks either, that Mandy Pope had come in on Taprit. And yesterday Ortiz was wearing her jacket with Taprit. So they added her to the ownership roster. Let's take a timeout here. We're going to connect with Sean Davis. And Sean, a new name. And those that are fans of Chief Chickatris, they certainly knew Sean. But as Marty McGee introduced him to all of us a little bit in conversation on Friday during preview, and then here's the follow-up. And Sean Davis with Roy Evans, Chief Chickatris, and the homebred by Munnings, and 5-year-old as a mature horse, has really put it all together. Returned to Churchill after catching the slop in the Churchill Downs over the Derby weekend, and he was 18-1 that day. No such number Saturday night. And I understand Saturday night was. Did you see tweet? Oh my God, Travis! After the card was over Saturday, I guess Churchill. Downs After Dark was like a raging party scene, I guess, on Saturday night. The thing had built to a bit of a crescendo. They had apparently the scene that they envisioned, really, that the idea of the lights and getting people to come and hang out. The way they do Australia is the template for that, for that kind of successful use of making the racetrack a full advantage. We'll talk to Sean after this. Find out how he's going to plot his return to Churchill for the Breeders' Cup at the races at Belmont.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today. The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't understand the people of the day. See each other down or lift a hand in way. This has been going on for years and years. Humanity's a class war on its first again. Your blood's red as well as mine. Help up the past, leave it all behind. You know deep down in your mind, there's a ripple in our time.
We're back at the races. About 25 minutes to fill out on Monday of Belmont week, and still kind of taking in all of the results from the weekend. And the most stunning performance came from Chief Chickatrice. And Marty McGee really tipped the hand to this performance and to Sean Davis coming back to Churchill after having to deal with the sloppy track in the Churchill Downs. And, of course, with the Breeders' Cup coming back to Churchill in the fall, certainly a very heartening performance, not to mention a eye-popping 110 buyer for the Munnings Gelding. And Roy Evans, homebred, and Sean Davis joins us. 8th win in 11 tries for the Speedster. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Sean, this was, it's one thing to come back and run well. this was unbelievable. I mean, it was like he was widening with every jump.
Well, we were quite excited about it. The thing I knew before the race on Derby Day that he wasn't quite ready for that race. But we originally going to run him on the grass, and he didn't seem to get across the grass as well. And so we decided to run him where we did. But I knew he needed a little more prep going into that. We did accomplish what we hoped to find out where he really fit. Because we seem to accomplish that, this weekend.
Talk before we get into this race and what it means for the rest of the year. Give us a little background, because he was, he's lightly raced and was, a little slow getting to the races.
Well, we had no idea we had that kind of a horse, and I was training at Denver, and we realized that in his works and everything that he was better than anything that we had, but the track was always a little bit bad, so we never did training very hard, but I did realize, and I didn't want to run him. I thought he would be better if we run him at a track where they had more money up, because we thought we'd have. So we targeted him to go to Zia Park. And when we entered him there, I thought, well, we surely will have a shot here. And when I seen the card for coming from where we'd come from, it was all Kentucky breds and some nice bred, expensive colts. And I thought, oh, darn, if we even can see these horses at the end, we'll be lucky. And because we'd always worked from off the pace, I said to the rider, he likes to come from off the pace, so we always run at them. When they broke, he kind of went to the lead, and I thought, well, he's going to cave in here anytime, because the fractions were pretty fast. And then when the running started, he just went to running and had an impressive time as his first out. And that's when we first realized that we had something that was better than we'd had us, at least in the past.
How long have you been working with Mr. Evans?
Well, Mr. Evans was a friend of mine. He does some great things, and we'd put on a rodeo called the Texas Stampede in Dallas, and he was a part of it. It was a fundraiser for the Children's Hospital. He's also does some great things with the Byron Nelson golf tournament fundraisers, but we've been friends for several years, and he just happened to send me, and this was a hobby for him. He actually claimed the mare, bred her, and planned the breeding. But we've been associated for about 15 years.
Very nice. And you mentioned the rodeo. You join a long list of top-notch, authentic cowboys that send out thoroughbreds, and between guys like Carl Nafsker and Scooter Dickey and Mike Tomlinson, you fit right in.
Well, we've had some. Carl and I rodeoed a lot together at the. When I say we rodeoed at the same time, and spent some time together when we rodeoed, and over the years, because I've always had an opportunity to attend the Kentucky Derby, even though. I said to my wife, and I had to pay my dad, I said, if I ever have a horse good enough to enter on this day, that's about what I could hope for. And, of course, that came true this year.
Well, you're being modest, because you're a three-time world champion saddle bronc rider. You're a member of the Cowboy Hall of Fame. You were the collegiate bareback champion, bull rider. I mean, you're a legendary cowboy, Sean. I mean, I'm not making anything up here.
Well, I had a very successful rodeo career, and I've had been in managing the National Fondle Rodeo for the last 30 years. So I've been in rodeo a lot, but I've always loved racing, and just accidentally had different opportunities and always had it as a hobby. My first racehorse was kind of a situation where my wife galloped some horses because they couldn't find anybody to gallop for Bunker Hunt in Texas, and we bred a mare, brought that mare to Idaho, and that mare broke her maiden with Gary Stevens at Boise, Idaho. That was our first racehorse.
At LeBoy's.
Yeah, LaVoy Park, yeah.
LaVoy Park, unbelievable. And, of course, Scott and Gary, and you must, I saw, you must, how many wins do you have with his brother, with Scott at Turf Paradise?
Oh, yeah, we have. Scott does a great job for us. In fact, we actually planned on Scott riding instead of Gary on Derby Day, and then he, I don't know how many times he's won the leading rider at Turf Paradise, but it was kind of tight, and he needed the opportunity to, and I thought it was much better for him to come. And, of course, I couldn't do any better than Gary, so we were pleased one way or the other.
I love it. Before we talk about this win and the rest of the year, give us an insight. I've had this conversation with Scooter and with Carl and Mike Tomlinson, but I want your perspective. When you rodeo and when you're working with different kinds of horses, cutting horses and the various opportunities you have, how is that horsemanship? What kinds of things are most easily translatable to thoroughbred racing?
Well, I think a lot of it, and of course I got started riding horses that nobody else wanted to get on and was kind of gifted that way. So I got a good background in feeling what a lot to do with the mental attitude of the horse. And I think that's, I found out that, at least in my part of thoroughbred racing, that the mental attitude is just like competing yourself. It's as important, more important than the, in a lot of cases, the physical attitude. I've always wanted a, and always tried to maintain and have a broke horse that you could cooperate with, and if you had a problem, you could revert back to horsemanship, and it's worked very well for us.
Well, and when you see a horse like this that, you know, has obviously, you know, has had, you know, needed time off and needed spots away from the track to mature, and then to have him, you know, start to really harness his ability and you know, then display it the way he did on Saturday night. One of the other parts of this win, to talk about the Aristides, Sean, he did not have to go to the lead, and if he's going to rate a little bit, he's even more dangerous. And it seems like, you know, the way he exploded, boy, that's got to be encouraging as you plan out an approach to the Breeders' Cup.
Well, hopefully we'd be considered to do that, because it looks like, you know, that possibly does have that kind of ability. But this horse is always, like I said, we always brought him off the pace from the time he was, when we first started training him. And he, if you see his form, he's always had the front end, but he don't need to sit on the front end, and you can take him back. And he was quite relaxed. If you notice the way James handled him in that race, he probably broke on top and then he settled. And of course, that was a concern we had, and the goal that we worked for is to get him to settle, and he's done that very, very well. And when you work him, you know, he has very fast works, but that's just him doing it relaxed. He don't run off in a work. He just settles and goes, and if you ask him a little bit, he'll go a little bit more for you.
Well, part of that on Saturday, I was mentioning just in the review when I started the show, kind of reviewing the highlights of the weekend, James Graham, who is thought of a little bit more as a turf rider, but who is really underrated and underappreciated. And he's very quiet on a horse, and something tells me that this is a nice pairing.
Yeah, I like it, because this horse, the riders are riding quiet, and he's had if you watch his, look at his form, he's had almost a different rider every time we've run him.
Yeah.
But the ones that sit quiet and place him, and then when this horse has hardly ever been you notice I don't think James Old hit him one time in the lane. He flagged him, and if you watch his races, that's basically the way that he's been ridden. But well, I do think they're a good match.
Yeah. Eight wins, six different jocks in those wins.
Yeah, we've always, we always had nice riders and what was available, and he just worked under those circumstances.
You know what's interesting, considering Sean, how he's run now, Churchill on a dry track, Turf Paradise, and Zia, and Sunland, but what went wrong at Oaklawn? I mean, did he not take to Oaklawn? Can you explain those two efforts?
Well, a couple things. I think at Oaklawn, the first race, you know, he wasn't, there were some things getting there and he would, on that track, he wasn't ready for that kind of company. Even though he'd run some good races, and that was my fault with inexperiences. And then in the Count Fleet, of course, he broke bad in the Gold Cup at Phoenix about a month and a half before that, and I wanted to make sure that he was schooled so he would break. And he broke, and he got on the front, and he was stuck there, and they just kept coming to him, and he just got outrun. You know, he only got beat like a head per second, but that was kind of my fault because I really didn't want him to have the front, but I did want him to get out of the gate. When he got out of the gate, then he took the lead, and it backfired on us. But he actually ran a pretty good race, but that's where one of his, and he bruised his coffin bone there, and that's why he had the long lay off.
Interesting. Well, has since come back, and other than the sloppy surface, has been perfect this year. Now 3-for-4 and a 110 buyer. How much planning so far? Thinking about, getting back to Churchill for Breeders' Cup. How often do you think you want to run him between now and then?
Well, we want to make sure the horse stays fit, but we also want to we're not excited about overdoing the horse. We want to set him up, pick his races, and just let the horse tell us when he wants to run next, so we come into the race as we did the Aristides.
Well, Sean Davis, you've got you and Mr. Evans have got a pretty nice situation here, a gelding, and we've certainly seen horses like this that emerge as mature horses, 5 years old, and you guys are going to have some fun. right?
Yeah, we'll have some fun. And I have to give a lot of this credit to Mr. Evans because he's in no hurry, and like I said, there's been the horse has had little difficulties, but he made sure that we had the time and took him to the places to have him taken care of, and we're quite pleased right now that this horse is as sound as they possibly could be, and it's due to his patience, or letting us have the patience to keep him that way.
Now we hear that so often. I mean, and especially with mature horses, when they get to be, five, and there's certain horsemen that do get the luxury of owners that understand that and aren't in a rush, and just leave it to their trainer to tell them this horse needs time and this horse isn't ready, and you got to be patient, and if you. Another example that if you're patient and you work together, owner and trainer, you can be rewarded. And Chief Cicatrice, going to be a major sprint force going forward. And Sean, absolutely delighted. We'll be watching for you at Canterbury, and looking forward to where Chief turns up next.
Well, we'll have a plan. We had to see this race to see where we targeted him. Now we got a plan we're working on. So appreciate everything letting us visit about Chief.
Oh, absolutely. And wouldn't make sure you take a look at those two grade ones at Saratoga. It'd be nice to get you there.
But well, we'd like to be there. We heard a lot of good things about Saratoga. So.
Well, you'll look at the Vanderbilt and the Forgo, and we welcome some new faces, and should be you can check with Carl because he's had plenty of success over the years when he brought some of his good ones and winning races like the Alabama and Travers.
Well, Carl has been great advice to me and helped me in my limited experience. So we've been friends for years, and he's one of the people that I really depend on to give me some good advice.
Well, yeah, an absolute legend. And Sean Davis, I'm just delighted to have had the chance, and know we're going to talk again soon. Continued success.
Well, thank you.
Not at all. Sean Davis, everybody, and Chief Cicatrice, and Marty McGee gave you the heads up with this, and that this horse was coming in hot, and a 110 buyer, a huge performance, and there you go, a cowboy legend. It's no coincidence. That all these authentic cowboys, rodeo guys, have had the success that they've had and are having. Mike Tomlinson, I mean, there's nobody hotter, and Mike Tomlinson is winning like 60% at Churchill this meet, and he's a great rodeo rider, and of course Scooter, and Scooter's going to be here Saturday, right? We got Scooter. He's intended for the Manhattan with one go, all go. Manhattan's going to be tremendous. You know, we're so focused on Belmont and the Met, the Acorn, but the Manhattan's coming up great. I saw Albertrani yesterday, too. Saddler's Joy. It's going to be very good. We're not going to have time for John White, but we'll save John for tomorrow. Nice extended conversations this hour with Jonathan Thomas and now with Sean Davis. Very cool. Let's take this break, and we'll wrap up Monday. Get a couple of other pieces of news in that I haven't had a chance yet. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Edio's picks, available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide, to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
Just a couple of minutes, and I couldn't help but take a look. I was just looking at this mare, and Ollie Figgins trained the mare that Chief Cicatriz comes from, and the immediate family has been a little modest, but you go back a couple of mares, go back a couple of dams. How about Laughter, the dam of Private Terms? Yeah, and Blue Ensign, and holy cow, Dover Ridge, and Steel Maiden, and a bunch of stake winners. Maybe Private Terms, though. About as notable, and there's also the family of Masabi Maiden, one of a black-eyed Susan. That's the sister of the second dam, who was by Unbridled. Speaking of Carl Mafsker, so I wonder, I should let Sean Davis know that Carl's got a hand in this horse that way. Amazing. I told you, let's see, I got to get rid of some of this news that's piled up here. I told you about Fault, so that I can move aside. Before I forget this, too, you've got the Run for Glory Belmont Stakes Handicapping Seminar on Wednesday. And that's going to be at the Cherry Valley Country Club on Rockaway Ave in Garden City. 6 to 9:30, including Randy Moss and Jerry Bailey. They're Siamese twins, you know. they're never apart. It's unbelievable. Mike Watchmaker as well. And you'll have a bunch of the jocks will be there. It's a PDJF fundraiser. So mark it down Wednesday if you don't have plans yet. 6 to 9:30 at the CVCC, the Cherry Valley Country Club. Also, reminder, there's still time to register for Friday, Saturday, the Belmont Stakes Betting Challenge. Wanted to mention, I've got way more, but it'll have to wait for tomorrow. Later today, the George W. Barker at Finger Lakes. A feature today. Seventh race, 3:52. It's a nice group, and even as good as Breaking the Fever it has been, 20 wins and 33 starts, he's tough in here. This is Mighty Zealous is tough, and Saratoga Gyro. Racing at Delaware 2 today. Presque Isle, of course. We'll talk to Dick Powell tomorrow. Parks, Mountaineer, Arapaho, Louisiana Downs, and the Flakes. Good luck today if you're playing. I want to thank Jerry Hollendorfer, Jimmy Toner, Johnny D, Jonathan Thomas, Sean Davis. Fun day. Kicking off Belmont Week. Back with you tomorrow. If you missed anything, replay.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Edio's picks, available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide, to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.